I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The winner of the second search for the Great BC Novel Contest is the debut novel from the writer Catherine Parra. Her book, Lucky, is to be published shortly, and she joins me now to talk about it. Described as an unflinching novel set in the Middle East and Canada, we meet Annie Lund, a freelance photographer covering conflict in the Middle East. Her goal is to photograph an infamous terrorist, and she sets out to do so with her friend Viva, a translator whose own husband disappeared in Syria. It's the fall of 2004, and they've gained access to Fallujah. The setting in the book goes from there to Vancouver and back, illuminating a story about war and the journalists who cover it, love, and all its attendant dilemmas. Catherine Parra has won many awards for her writing in various media. She's written for the stage and screen, directed short films as well. She's appeared in a number of publications. She's an MFA graduate from the UBC Creative Writing Program. Her website is at paracommunications.com. Ms. Parra will be appearing on a panel at the Vancouver Writers Festival Friday, the 25th of October at the Waterfront Theater. It's a discussion celebrating the 50th anniversary of the aforementioned UBC Creative Writing Department. That's at 6 p.m. Also, Lucky launches here in Vancouver the 15th of November. Lucky is from our friends over at Mother Tongue Publishing, so visit mothertonguepublishing.com for information on that. The final judge of the contest, Carolyn Anderson, said of this book, it's, quote, a beautiful, harsh novel, tension-filled, its language startling and fresh. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program from Gibson's, B.C. This day, Kathy Parra. Ms. Parra, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about this book and who narrates it. The two characters I mentioned, we have Annika, is that how you pronounce her name? And Viva.
Yes.
Do they narrate the book?
The book is written in first person and third person, and it's all from Annie's point of view.
I see.
She, all the events in the Middle East are written in the third person, so it mimics her memory of what happens, and the Vancouver section of the story is written in first person, present tense.
So Annie is from this part of the world, and then Viva is from the Middle East, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. How do they come together?
Well, Annie is a freelance photographer, and she meets Viva in the Middle East and realizes her value as a translator. Viva is a language instructor at a Syrian university, and she speaks several of the languages across that region, and Annie speaks none of them. She speaks English. So she needs someone on the inside to tell her what's going on in front of her and make some connections for her. And so they end up being quite good friends. They like each other tremendously and form a bond that's very sister-like.
These bonds, whether they're male or female, they do happen, I guess, abroad, especially in the conflicts of the last 10 years or so.
Yes.
Did you do research, say, in terms of inspirations for these characters of yours?
Oh, of course. I spent a lot of time reading, several years, in fact, doing research on journalists and their activities and how they get their stories. And one of the most important things that I saw was a CBC documentary. I think it was called Under Fire. And that's pretty much where the details of her career came from. They were talking about the lives of journalists and showing their character and the kinds of things that they will do under pressure. And so her career really follows that trajectory of journalists running into places that everyone else wants to run away from. And that, for me, is, I would never do that. I would never run into a really difficult situation. So I was pretty much fascinated by these people, and the women in particular. And they talked about their personal insights and their ability to cope and, you know, what they came to, their conclusion was that at a certain point they began to question their, you know, their sense of humanity, how detached they were becoming from that. And some war photographers are very, and journalists are very good at maintaining that sense of humanity, but sometimes the situations become so intense that they lose that, and then they start unraveling a bit, and they need to take a step back. So there's a definite psychological toll there that I was interested in as a writer.
Is this psychological toll, and I know this sounds sexist, but do you think it's more acute because it's female characters or female people, females, I should say?
No, I think it crosses gender for sure. In a book called, it's The War Journal by Richard Engel.
The guy from NBC, yeah.
He talks about his experiences taking photographs in very volatile situations and the emotional toll that it took on him. So I don't think it's something that would be exclusive to women. I think what happens is that women are moving into roles that are traditionally filled by men, and there's a learning curve that's associated with that. I think men sometimes are very good at compartmentalizing things.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a difference there, I think, in the way men and women process that information, but I think they both experience it equally.
In the book, you've depicted the war experience through these two female characters, through their perspective. Was it important for you to use female characters to showcase, say, their experiences with war?
Yes, I think as soon as I put a woman in that situation, I take a risk with her. She needs to be someone who is very active in the world, and she pushes people a bit, and she occasionally says unlikable things, and she makes bad decisions. So I think that, you know, in literature we find that most of the characters who are like that are men, and I would like to see, I know a lot of women who are you know, succeeding in male-dominated industries, but having to deal with complaints about their character being pushy or self-centered, and I would like to read about that character. I don't see them a lot in literature, so I wanted to put her front and center in a difficult situation and show what can be, what can happen.
And so it's the fall of 2004, and they end up in Fallujah. Well, would you remind us about what sort of place that was? I mean, in the height of the Iraq conflict, I remember hearing what an awful place that was. And I mean, it was hell almost, wasn't it?
Yes, it was one of the ugliest conflicts in that war. American troops were trying to root out terrorists, and they had surrounded the city and pretty much pushed out, according to reports, pushed out most of the women and children, but had left the men in the city. And there were a lot of firefights and problems associated with that. And in the research, I found that, you know, that was an event that people knew was going to happen, that people knew that there was going to be some problems at Fallujah, and there was also that sense that there were people hiding in there that for the purposes of my story were important to Annie and her translator. So, you know, I took that situation and tried to make it work for my character and pushed her towards that and used that conflagration as a climax in the book.
Now, Vancouver is depicted in the book, as we've mentioned. Is Annie from here?
She is from a small logging town in South Central BC.
I see. And then she
grew up on a ranch, and she had a mother who suffered from bipolar disorder. And her father was a rancher, and as many ranchers do, tried to make ends meet with other jobs.
And for you, as the writer, did you have in mind a sort of Vancouver that you wanted to depict in your book?
You know, Vancouver is this, it's a really rich city, and I wanted to really use that contrast of how rich and, you know, saturated it is. You know, we're all blues and greens and tall towers in the city center, and, you know, graceful streets with trees, and I mean, it's a really beautiful city set against mountains. And on top of that, it's a cultural center that's very, for the most part, quite peaceful. I mean, everybody has comes from somewhere else, and we pretty much all get along. So it is an incredible sort of contrast to a war-torn country that sits in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, I guess the one of the first things we see in the book is Commercial Drive, and did you live in Vancouver at all?
Yes, yeah, I lived there for 20 years.
Yeah, what brought you to Gibson's?
I had come into some money, and I wanted to buy a house. I had never experienced that home ownership, and I couldn't afford to buy a house in Vancouver, and at the time, Gibson's looked very idyllic. You know, it's a beautiful spot. It's right on the ocean, and it's a small town, and it reminded me of where I grew up, and so I came here.
Yeah, it must be beautiful. I mean, it looks pretty nice in Vancouver today, but I mean, Gibson's probably looks about 10 times better.
Well, it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
There isn't a day that goes by that, you know, that isn't, you know, appreciated for its beauty.
Yeah. When did you start this book?
I started this book about 2007, and it had, it's my first novel, so I went off on a few tangents with it and had to come back and tighten it up and went off again on a few tangents, and it took me quite a while, and then, of course, the research took several years. It, just when I thought I would, you know, have something figured out, I would find another book and get a whole new perspective on what was happening in the Middle East, or, you know, see all kinds of video. There's documentaries and feature films, too, that are set in the Middle East that gave me good ideas about, you know, what things look like, and they were very helpful. And then I had a whole other story, a whole other plot line attached to the book that people kept telling me over and over was like, really, well, it's interesting, but I'm not sure how that works with this. So I took a good look at that, and shortly before I entered it in the contest, I took that entire section out of the book and did a rewrite. And it came together, and it's very tight now.
What was the process of the Great BC Novel Contest? I guess you have the work that you've done, and then you submit it. How did you find the process in terms of, say, the feedback that you got from Carolyn, from the folks over at Mother Tongue?
Well, it's I was lucky enough to work with editor Pearl Luke. She was longlisted for a Dublin Impact Award.
Uh-huh.
And she's an amazing wordsmith. And she knows more about grammar than anybody I've ever met. And she was very helpful and was a really good second eye on the script, or the script, the manuscript, and was really helpful in helping me clarify things. And some places needed to be tightened and other places needed to be kind of fleshed out and made a bit more detailed. And, you know, those were the kinds of things that, you know, hold people in the manuscript longer and into the story. So she was really helpful. And, of course, Mona is a force unto herself. She's very enthusiastic, and she has all kinds of plans for getting the word out, which is helpful and not really my forte. So that was great. And then being picked by Carolyn Addison, I mean, that was really gratifying to be chosen for publication by such a respected writer. It was really made me feel good.
Yeah. Now, you as I mentioned in the introduction, you've had experience on the writing for the stage and writing for film. Do you think that the film experience, especially, I know you slipped up there and said that it was a script rather than a manuscript. Do you think that helps in terms of, say, writing for the era, obviously, but for the eye especially? I mean, from what I've read of the book, it's a very visual, and I'm assuming that the film work has influenced that. Has it?
I think so. I think that, you know, my first training was in film, and I've always been incredibly visually oriented. So it's a part of it is learning how to tell a story, and for me, I learned how to tell a story writing scripts, and I learned to visualize scenes and things that way. And so, on the other hand, I love the world of a novel. I love to open that page and sit down and disappear into the words. So, you know, part of it was a desire to be that person who writes that world. And I love to create a world. It's just really gratifying to be able to put a world together that people can disappear into.
Now you had written and published long before you'd gone to UBC, and this is from the research that I've done on you. What compelled you to go to the do the MFA program at UBC on creative writing?
Well, part of it was a desire to get a university education in general, and the other part was the attraction to the creative writing program and sort of that space and time where you really concentrate just on writing. It's a very safe place to write, and, you know, if you have questions or problems or, you know, there's a whole group of people there who are willing to give you feedback or support. I had a professor, Linda Svensson, and she once referred to UBC as a hothouse environment, and I really felt that. I felt really, you know, cared for and encouraged, it has this kind of, you're disengaged from the rest of the world. It's very focused and intense, and so it has the effect of really helping to clarify your voice, and it changed my values, I think. And I really appreciate now the complexities and nuances of storytelling. And it helped me develop my voice, which is what I was really, really hoping to do.
And are you working on another novel now?
Yes, I am. I have been working with an idea about an Afghanistan vet. I'm very interested in what war does to people. But we have, you know, conflicts here at home as well. And this vet returns to his hometown, and he works in a sawmill. And he basically swears to himself that he's never going to kill again. But he falls in love with a woman who he later finds out is a drug mule for a gang, something like the Hells Angels. So he's got to make a decision in his life whether to let her go or to try to extract her from the situation she's made for herself. And the choices are never easy. So, you know, I like to go for a situation where there's inherent drama and then, you know, pull out the dilemmas that people face in their lives.
Kathy, it's been a great pleasure talking to you today. This is a great debut from what I've read of the book. I can't wait to finish it. Congratulations on all of this, and good luck with the book.
Okay.
The website from our paracommunications.com, the book is called Lucky, a novel. It's from Mother Tongue Publishing. Its author, Catherine Parra, joined me on the line from Gibson's, British Columbia in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.